I'm Rick Steves, and we're working our way up the longest river in the world with Joanna Lumley right now on Travel with Rick Steves. You may know Joanna from her many roles in theater, TV, and film, including as the irrepressible Patsy Stone on Absolutely Fabulous. She's recently produced a travel special that's showing on public television. It's called Joanna Lumley's Nile. It's also available as a DVD set released by Athena. So far, we're on the outskirts of Cairo on her 4,000-mile journey to the source of the Nile River. Joanna, it's so fun to hear your experiences in Egypt. I was there also. It was just before their political upheaval turned deadly. And while I was there, I noticed that the pyramids, they seemed to draw a line in the sand for Cairo. Maybe you felt this too, but it was almost as if they were saying, this is as far as you can spread your massive city. And it was so much fun to watch you on your camel, clip-clopping your way right up to the pyramids. It's something I've always wanted to do, going from the outskirts of Cairo, and you were on a camel named Charlie Brown. And then as soon as you approached the pyramids, I don't know about you, but I found that you don't even know there's a city of 18 million people just behind you. It's just you and the camel, and it's like you're in a whole nother world from 4,000 years ago.
Well, it's the most strange feeling. I think what it is I think they've kind of made, I don't think national park's the right word, but I think they've sort of stopped it and said, this is as far as we go. Added to which, the land they've built on was land that used to be flooded every year by the Nile when the great rains came and the snows melted.
Joanna, you seem to have a nice relationship with your camel, Charlie Brown, right?
Charlie Brown is the most beautiful creature. I spoke very low and I spoke in a very deep voice. Animals quite, they don't like shrill noises. And I spoke very softly to Charlie and I told him how handsome he was. And he kissed me with his whiskery, whiskery face. Mm-hmm. And then he was very kind to me, and his owner said he really likes you. Mm. And so I felt extremely happy with him, even when I had to cross a motorway, Rick. And I thought, you know, sail before steam, I hope they'll stop. And indeed the cars all quietly came to a halt as we went on the great ships of the desert crossing across these motorways.
You know, you mentioned they fold up like a Leatherman. And I just think that is the greatest description. I mean, most of us know what a Leatherman is, that multifaceted tool we can stick in our tool belt or in our pocket. And
That's
then you
right.
showed it and the camel collapses. Describe how that works.
Just beautiful. They sort of fold up. They go down the front first. And their great, beautiful knees buckle up under them. Then the back legs snap up, and suddenly they're, after a huge jolt, and at one point you're 45 degrees to the ground if you're sitting on the saddle, and then suddenly you're back to normal again, and you just swing your leg over and can slip down.
Now, you took the night train from Cairo down to Luxor, and then you got in the boat and sailed to, and I love the approach you had to Aswan, and then from there, Abu Simbel. Can you talk a little bit about that stretch of the Nile?
Well, the train journey was lovely, but it was a sort of overnight train. And that lovely impatience you have when you're travelling in the darkness, you can't really see what it's like. You get the odd glimpse of the river, but you couldn't really see where you were. And then suddenly arriving at Luxor the next morning with all the glories of that phenomenal place. I mean, dear people listening, if you haven't been to Luxor, save up every penny you've got and get up there, get to Egypt and somehow get to Luxor because you won't be disappointed.
We're cruising down the Nile River, the lifeline of civilizations for thousands of years, with Joanna Lumley. American audiences probably know her best for her role as Patsy Stone on the hit Britcom Absolutely Fabulous. A DVD set of Joanna Lumley's Nile has recently been released in the U.S. by Athena.
Don't you rather love that possessive way I've called it my Nile, Joanna Lumley's Nile?
Joanna Lumley's Nile. Well, you are such an elegant person, and at the same time, from watching your video, it just seemed like you were a beautiful traveler as well. And there's that very interesting mix. You're surrounded by people sleeping on the deck, literally, and you're sitting there being very thoughtful and poetic and composed. Describe what it was like to sail across this giant Lake Nasser. That's the largest man-made lake in the world, I understand, past where the Nile backs up after the Aswan Dam, which was built in 1970 to control the floods that really bring life to Egypt.
Rick, it's like an inland sea. It really is. I mean, the scale of that mighty place is just enormous. Half the time, you can't see the other side of it.
Wow.
So when we call it Lake Nasser, it's kind of Sea Nasser, really. It's immense. And setting off in the darkness in a really rattling old tin tub of a ship, crammed with people, 500 people crammed on, with all their goods and chattels, everything that people were bringing down from Egypt into the Sudan to bring back to their families with stuff that they'd bought and having worked abroad and so on, bringing treats to their families. And it was stiflingly hot downstairs where you ate the favourite food there, which is called ful, F-O-U-L, which is beans. It's like baked beans, but without the tomato sauce. They're very delicious, slightly larger white beans, and they're actually a good and nourishing meal. And as I'm a vegetarian, they suited me down to the ground. But it was so hot downstairs, I thought I might just go up and sit on the deck for a bit. Well, everybody had the same idea, so everybody in the world was sleeping on the deck with their blankets out and their mats, sometimes a little transistor radio playing. Lots of men, some saying their prayers. And I found a little tiny strip which had several cockroaches running about in it. And I thought, if I just hunker down here, I can probably have a calm night, put my kit bag under my head and shoulders. And it was so hot you didn't need a cover. Just lay down there, and actually it was lovely.
Joanna, you look like a movie star when you're traveling through Egypt, even if you're wearing your khakis and so on. How was it surrounded by working-class men on this working-class boat, sleeping on the decks, surrounded by 50 men? I mean, it's a man's world. You're not just a woman. You're this stately woman from the rich world. Did you feel comfortable?
They're very respectful. They're extremely respectful people. And because I respect them, so I always keep, for instance, in an Islamic country, you always keep yourself covered up if you're a woman. Mm-hmm. So you don't have naked arms and legs mm-hmm. and things. And you don't have a dipping front. You know, you keep yourself covered mm-hmm. and always have a scarf ready to cover your hair if mm-hmm. people would rather it was that way. It's the easiest way of travelling. And if you're courteous to them and remember to say shukran and thank you and all the nice, polite words, and they can tell by your demeanour that you respect them and are so proud to be in their country and happy to be there. And they're always courteous back again. But remember, I've travelled. I'm a traveller. And we were travelling light. There are only six of us on these things. There's a couple of cameramen, sound recordist, the director, the producer, and me. Mm-hmm. And then you meet up with your fixer, your dragoman, your interpreter, as it were, in each place that you go to, who right. can speak the local language and knows how to sort things out. But we travel so light, so I carry all my clothes rolled up in bags yeah. and stick on my makeup by candlelight and things, and it's fine.
The point is, you can be elegant and presentable for TV, you know. At the same time, you can be very modest and respectful of the local sensibilities.
That's right.
And I think you nailed it. It was really impressive.
I'm so pleased.
You had an adventure with some crocodiles. Tell us, that must have been a fun part of your adventure.
Well, meeting somebody who'd been damaged by a crocodile. We were determined in this film. The Nile crocodile is one of the most famous animals on earth. It's the one that Tarzan wrestled with in the rivers. You know, they grow to be, I don't know, 18 foot long, absolutely unbelievably huge. And we had to try to find Nile crocodiles for our film because we thought it would be so nice. Well, we looked and looked in Egypt and in the Sudan, and we couldn't find anything. We could see footprints, we could see this and that. I saw an old man who'd been badly injured by a crocodile. He told me the story with an old crocodile skeleton. But it wasn't until we reached Uganda where we saw them basking in all their majestic glory. I love them, Rick. I hate it. I'm sorry to say this. I don't like people killing them mm-hmm. just so they can have a crocodile bag. Mm-hmm. These are great creatures who've been roaming the earth for 4 million years, far longer than we've been around. Mm-hmm. And they are prehistoric, and they have as much right to be here as we do. Anyway, to see them keeping their mouths wide open to let the cool air flow into their bodies, and to see them slipping with a slight bubble from the nostril into the river, and then just slip, 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 and you think, ooh, I'll keep my hand out of the water.
Joanna Lumley's Nile is the name of the video set and the TV special that Joanna produced from her 4,000-mile trek up the entire length of the Nile River. She's our special guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves, as she shares highlights from this trip of a lifetime where she traveled by fishing boat, ferry, cruise ship, plane, train, car, and inflatable speedboat, all the way to the recently discovered source of the Nile River. Joanna, you also talked vividly about going through the Nubian desert and then visiting the pyramids of the Black Pharaohs. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, this is extraordinary. There are more pyramids outside Egypt in the Sudan than there are inside Egypt. These are differently shaped ones. And where we were in Karima, one of the holiest and most extraordinary little sort of respected townships on the edge of the Nile, right out in the desert, right out in the Nubian desert, where the holy mountain Jebel Barkar is. And Karima was the capital of the whole region. From Karima ran the whole of this great Egyptian empire. All the pharaohs came from that region and were black, Sudanese, beautiful people who were pharaohs for just generations. And they seem to have been sort of left out of it, because their people were buried back in Karima in the Sudan. And I went down into a couple of the tombs, which haven't been plundered, but which are, honestly, you just walk across the desert to them. There's no, you know, entrance fee, and there are no guards. There's nothing. The big clanging gate and an old man called Mohammed who lets you in. With torchlight, you can see the beauty of these burial chambers, We went to a queen's burial chamber with stars on the sky and a painting of her as a corpse. And then on the other side, her smelling the Ankh, which I will spell A-N-K-H if people want to look it up, that beautiful symbol which became a hippie symbol in the 60s of eternal life, like a kind of loop with a cross across it. The god holds it to the queen's nose, and suddenly there was a painting of her reinvigorated, life brought back to her. So they believed in life after death as well. Extraordinary.
Would these be Nubians?
These are Nubians, yeah.
It is fascinating to think that pharaohs were from Nubia and they were Nubian. Today, Nubians are darker-skinned minority in Egypt anyways, and they have traditional villages. But if you want to see the idyllic, you know, time-past village life on the Nile, apparently the Nubian villages are really something. And then you climbed with the Nubians up their holy mountain.
Up to the holy mountain, Jabal Baka. And it was just fantastic. Every Friday on the Muslim holy day, they climb up there. And there was a couple of young newlyweds. When you get married, it's one of the things you do. You climb the mountain and watch the sunset from up there. There was such a lovely chitter-chattering of little children who, of course, run straight up it. And I was with the old village elder who'd looked after me. And we went up hand in hand, puffing and panting. He said rather charmingly, when I get to 60, I shall be feel that I'm climbing the mountain. I didn't say to him, I'm 63 already.
Oh, man. I was so inspired by that whole... it must have been early in the morning or late at night when you're
climbing. No, it was late at night. It was the sun setting, Rick. It was just a truly, honestly, transcendental feeling.
Was crossing borders pretty straightforward? Did you have reservations and visas and so on? Or did you just show up and talk your way through?
No. We were visa'd up to the nostrils. We'd got every kind of pass and permit and photograph and just extra pieces of paper. And, of course, remember, we're carrying a lot of camera equipment.
And did it all work? Because you did all your due diligence. Did you pretty much skip right through the borders?
Well, skip might be a bit of an enchanting word to use. But we got through and there was no problems. The only time we had a problem, funnily enough, was in Uganda, where for some unbelievable reason, I'd left my yellow fever certificate behind. And they brought out of a ghastly, what seemed to be a rusty old box, a vast needle and said, we will inject you here. And I went, holy smoke, please don't do that. So we phoned back and we had mine found and faxed through, but that was a bit of a delay. And I thought, never, ever travel without your vaccination.
I didn't know they still need that. You still need the vaccination card for these countries.
Yeah, you do.
And if you don't have it, they bring out the well-used needle. And
They do, or you're not allowed in.
Yeah. I've seen it on crossing over to India at the borders. They've got these guys that come once a day with their well-used needles, and you're wise to get your shots. Joanna, Lake Nasser is the biggest lake in the world, but it's man-made, and it feels like a reservoir in a lot of ways. How does Lake Victoria differ?
Oh, it's staggering.
Because I think Lake Victoria would be more that Eden feel.
I think it's got that Eden feel because it is... Lake Nasser, remember, is man-made, and therefore, although some bits grow a little bit now on the edges, it's largely within the desert. It's a reservoir in the middle of a desert with the great temple of Abu Simbel rising, you know, saved from the depths to be up there. But Lake Victoria is, it's kind of paradise. You've got everything. You've got every kind of animal on God's earth, butterflies and flowers and birds that you can't believe. Mm. The beauty of it, there's the calm, sweet feeling that you can just swim in it, that you can fish in it, you can laze on it, you can sit in a houseboat, you can travel on it. I don't know. There's something wonderful about Lake Victoria. But you see, the great Victorians came. Nobody could follow the Nile. This is the thing about it, Rick. In the old days, people travelled down, the Egyptians, the Greeks, everybody was looking for the source of the Nile. So they all came down through Egypt into the Sudan. That's where the Nile is met by this colossal 14-mile-deep swamp called the Sud, S-U-D-D. Photographed from the air, it looks like something from outer space. You just can't fathom how wide it is, made of papyrus islands which float and tiny, weird little things. It's a bed of mosquitoes. It's staggeringly beautiful and absolutely lethal. And the river seems to lose its way and it just becomes this colossal, on a scale that you can't believe.
I understand a lot of the actual bulk of the Nile or the flow of the Nile actually evaporates there sometimes.
Evaporates
because it's so spread out.
And dissipates itself there. Right. But then somehow, having flowed north from the Sudan into that, from southern Sudan into that, in northern Sudan, somehow it collects itself, and at the end, it combs its hair sideways, puts on its jacket again, comes out and says, I'm the Nile.
The mighty Nile. You know, Joanna, there's a lot of concern about the safety of women or how women are welcomed in Muslim countries that you traveled through here. What was your take, being a woman in these countries? What was the vibe? How was your reception?
Immensely respectful. I mean, depending on how religious people are, you'll find people in cities are friendly and shake hands. Sometimes the more religious Muslims won't, it's discourteous to touch a woman's hand. Women can greet each other. So I had lots of hugs from grannies and young girls and young women and things like that. But if you learn these things and always look around and always err on the side of modesty, you know, behave properly, don't be bold, you know, don't be cheeky, don't be sort of lippy, don't behave in a Western way because that's not how it is out there. So leave your shorts behind and your sleeveless blouses. Leave them behind.
Joanna, the culmination of this long trip, 4,000 miles from the Mediterranean, was actually getting to whatever you determined the source of the Nile was, the longest tributary coming into Lake Victoria before the mighty Nile heads out of Lake Victoria. Tell us just that last little triumph. What was it like to find what you considered the source of the Nile?
Well, it was extraordinary. The three men who determined that this was the longest source of the Nile are called, their nickname is the Three Macs, because they're three New Zealanders who all have Scottish names, Maclay, McKellum, Mackenzie, whatever it is. They were absolutely fantastic, and they had sorted out and sourced it and done it. And so Cam Maclay decided to lead us inland and upriver, up to the final, final bit. I think we thought this will be a little bit of a stroll in the park. I think we thought it might be a path by a sweet mountain stream, and we'd film it in 5 minutes and sit down and have a picnic. Well, it turned out to be a fight through the most hellish primeval jungle you've ever come across.
You had hip boots
fast
on, didn't
you? Toppling trees. We couldn't climb half the trees that had tumbled down. We were in swamp and mud up to our knees, sucking the boots off. We were walking through soldier ants, which we couldn't film because the cameraman dropped the camera screaming with us as he was swarmed over by biting soldier ants. I tore off my jacket and just flung it into the undergrowth. It was crawling with ants.
Wow.
They crept up in my hair.
Boot-sucking mud.
But then at the end, and having taken a couple of false turns, so we were virtually on our knees, suddenly, in a little glade, in a little grove, there was a little sweet homemade sign tapped in, rather like something in Winnie the Pooh, which just said, "This is the longest source of the Nile." And there it was, a tiny, tiny trickle coming out of the ground at about, we were at about 8,000 feet. This little tiny bit of river, well, river, I mean, if you'd poured it out of a teacup, it would have been more than what was coming out of the ground there, Rick. But the thrill of standing there at the source of the, and having been at exactly the other end as it tipped itself into the Mediterranean. Oh, yeah.
And having traveled all the way from Rosetta, the town where the Nile hits the Mediterranean, did the whole thing. And you captured it on film, and you're sharing it with us. Joanna Lumley, your new DVD, or your DVD of your experience, is now available in the United States. It's Joanna Lumley's Nile. Thank you very much for sharing this beautiful adventure.
Thank you so much, Rick. And as Patsy would say, cheers, sweetie. Thanks a lot.
Okay, what absolutely fabulous adventures have you been on lately? Let's open up the phone lines now. We're at 877-333-7425 as we check in for some fresh listener travel reports. Share with us the unforgettable journeys you've been on lately. Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com.